Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your faithfulness to us that we can testify and use music and song to sing of it, to make much of your faithfulness to us. Thank you for the mercies that are new to us every morning because we are in need of them. And Lord, would you bless us as we continue to worship you? Continue to speak, Lord, to our hearts, to our minds. Do that now, in and through the power of your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning again, Christ community. It's joy for me to be able to join you and be back with you to share the word of God with you today. I'm going to be looking at Mark chapter 4, and so you can open your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark chapter 4. We're going to look at another parable today, these earthly stories that we've been looking at as a church, and that Pastor Barry and Pastor Larry and Sean and others have been kind of leading us through these earthly stories that have heavenly spiritual meaning. And so we're going to take a look at Mark chapter 4 today and continue to see what it is that the Lord has for us. As I have mentioned to you before, you all know that Stephanie and I moved to Florida last January, at least to this part of Florida, from northeastern Pennsylvania, where we had been for 18 years. And so there's a lot of things we're getting used to, adjusting. One of those things are the thunderstorms. They're different than they are in northeastern Pennsylvania. One minute it's sunny, the next it's the sky starts turning dark and clouds start rolling in and torrential rain comes. And then the thunder is, some of it has been so loud it shakes the house, which has happened a lot over the past couple of weeks with the rain and the storms that we've had. And every time it happens, it's like a constant reminder that our God is so powerful. These are all things that he holds in his hands. But we also had something new happen with our family. We brought a new puppy into the house last week. And so we also got to see her reaction to thunder, which was memorable. On one of those pretty loud thunder claps, she froze and then just kind of ran, but really doesn't know the house that well yet, and no idea where to hide. And I thought, well, she's getting used to these just as we are. What it's like to hear that, just the power of God and the power of nature, but also God's power flowing through that. And I thought about that in light of our text today, because I feel like the text today is really like that clap of thunder that shakes the house. It's like a spiritual thunder. And it's meant to jolt us awake, to kind of shake us out of complacency and call us to really listen carefully when God speaks. Because when the glory of God speaks, when the God of glory is speaking to us through his word, through his spirit, we dare not just hit the snooze button and say, not now. And so my hope and prayer is that we'll just lean in and listen to what it is that the word has for us, what God has for us. And we don't come to this like we don't respond to the word the way that a startled puppy does to thunder. We're like a child who knows our Father and knows that we have need of our Father and his voice and his word. So today we come to the parable of the lamb, and Jesus, again, sobering words about hearing and responding to his word. And we're going to see in these just few verses that Jesus unveils two massive realities. First is the glory of his own revelation, which we'll look at. And then second, we're going to look at the eternal stakes of just how we hear him. How we hear him and how we respond to his word. This story, this metaphor, parable, can almost be seen as a kid's message, a children's message, but this is really not a mild text. The meaning really is meant to be a warning, a thunderclap, awakening the souls of half-hearted hearers. So let's pray right now. We'll ask God. I'm going to ask you to pray along with me. And if you would, ask the Lord to help you to hear His word. Lord God, we recognize that we are in need of the Spirit to understand the things of the Spirit, because the natural man does not understand these things. Lord, we have evidence in the Scriptures where there were dull ears. And so, Lord, what we're praying for now with this group here, as we've come together in Your name on this Lord's Day to worship You, that not only would the Word of God be proclaimed, but that the Word of God would be heard. And so, Lord, hear the prayers going up in this room to have ears to hear what it is that You have for us. In Christ's name, amen. So Mark chapter 4, you can open your Bibles there, verse 21. We'll start looking there. And you'll notice, if you look at kind of the different gospel accounts, Mark and Luke, this parable, this metaphor, it follows in both the parable of the sower, and it's not being told to the crowds, to the large crowds, but to the disciples that Jesus had drawn away from the crowds and kind of took the inner circle and was speaking to them, and then maybe some other followers, close followers, that are listening in. So this is the audience here is Christ's closest followers, people like us. The followers of Christ. We've come here as followers of Christ. So let's look at verse 21. And He said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And He said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." So we're going to just kind of walk through this and break this text down exegetically, and then we'll draw from it. And the first thing I want you to see as we look at it in verse 21 is that what's being displayed to us is a revelation of light. And He said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand?" And so Jesus starts here with a question, and it's one that everyone who's listening knows the answer to. It's not that type of question where they don't know the answer. Of course, a lamp is brought in to be uncovered, not covered. Everyone knows that. Jesus knows that. He's using a common truth that everyone knows, like that, to reveal. So this is about revelation. He's revealing an uncommon truth. And the uncommon truth is really about Himself, about His truth and His word. And so if you kind of step back to the audience, which is what we should always do in interpreting Scripture appropriately, is understanding the audience to which that text is written. And a first century listener is going to think about a Galilean home or a first century home that would typically be one lamp. It would be on a stand somewhere in the middle of the house. These very modest homes, somewhere on a center beam somewhere and up high. As high as it could be so that it can display light in the center of the room and scattering light everywhere to dispel the darkness. And so this is what the listeners would have been thinking, because they would not have been thinking about our houses that we live in today. They would have been thinking of their context. And of course, they're thinking, "We don't cover a lamp in our homes, Jesus. We intentionally seek to place it in a location that allows the light to shine." Now, when we hear this, we might immediately think of the kids' song, you know, "Let this little light of mine, let it shine, you know, let it shine." And while it's true that Christians should, believers should, we should shine the light of Christ in our lives, that is not really Christ's primary point here. Jesus is not really talking here in this part of this text about our light. He's talking about Himself. And He's going to reveal that clearly. What is the spiritual meaning here of what He's asking about a lamp? He's making it clear that Jesus did not come to hide His identity. He is the true light, John 1. And He's asking a rhetorical question. Is a lamp brought in to be hidden? And the answer, again, is of course not. And then think about what light does. What does it do? It illuminates. In illuminating, it reveals. And in revealing, it exposes. What does Jesus come to do? He illuminates truth, he reveals himself, and he shines his light into the darkness. Now notice how Jesus, how this parable is phrased in the words that Jesus used. He said, a lamp is brought in. It's very specific language there. It's not that the lamp is already in the room, which in a typical home it would have been. It's brought in. Jesus is referring to himself being brought in, sent by God himself into our world. And John the Apostle said the same thing in John chapter 1. He said, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. So Jesus, when he came, and the Father sent him, Jesus came to be seen. But many missed him. And still do. In this parable, Jesus explains why that happens. Charles Spurgeon said that the gospel is like a lion, and it does not need to be defended. Just let it loose, and it will defend itself. Jesus is that gospel lion. His truth being revealed cannot be suppressed forever. We know from Romans 1 it is suppressed, but not forever. And not to all. But, clear point, Jesus did not come to hide his identity. He came to reveal it. That's what he's saying. The lamp was brought in, and it wasn't brought in to be uncovered. It was brought in to be covered. It was brought in to be uncovered, to be revealed, so that light can shine. So that's the first part. The second is the revelation of hidden things. The revelation of hidden things. So Jesus continues now to explain his meaning, and he does so using words that again need some explanation. Verse 22, nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. So Jesus here is declaring a divine principle that what is now hidden, which is really the mystery of the kingdom, the mystery of God's kingdom, of Christ's kingdom, is being revealed, will be revealed, and is being revealed through Christ. Jesus came to be revealed. He came to be seen, touched, heard as he spoke. It reminds us of 1 John 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, with our eyes. This is the Apostle John writing in that letter. Which we've looked upon and have touched with our hands. He says, that which we have seen and heard, this we proclaim to you. That's Jesus, who has come to this earth to be revealed, to be seen and heard. And so to his disciples, Jesus unveils this truth. And this is even what Jesus told them in this chapter earlier in verse 11. If you look up to verse 11, he said, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables. So that they may indeed see, but not, excuse me, perceive. I'm sorry. Thanks, Sean. There's like that little spot. And it's tickling. So they do not perceive. They hear, but they do not understand. And there's a reason that is happening. And the reason that it's happening is what Jesus wants to tell them in the next verse. So look at verse 21 and 22. Again, about revelation. Jesus is the lamp. The Father set him in the middle of the room to shine light. He did not hide him under the jar or under the bed. He did not cover the light. He revealed it. Now in verse 23, a shift. takes place. He moves from talking about revelation and light, and he moves to the topic of hearing. And it's an odd subject change, because he's talking about this revelation and light, which is about him. He is the light. He is the lamp. He is the one revealed. And he did not come to be covered up. But notice, we do the listening. We do the listening. And this is the thunder that I was referring to earlier. This is meant to wake us up. This reveals, I believe, the crisis of hearing that we have, I think, as Christians living in the world today. And this is Christ's call and his warning to hear, to listen. So let's look at verse 23. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. Now remember, this is not about physical hearing. It's not about whether or not our physical ears can hear. It's about spiritual understanding. Spiritual understanding. Are we understanding the things that we hear? So crowds are listening to Jesus preach. Crowds are listening to him teach. But notice, not everyone is perceiving and understanding what he's saying. The Pharisees heard Jesus, but did not understand. But the disciples, they heard and believed. And so did others. So think about this. Why would Jesus here move? Why is he moving from revelation and light and moving now to hearing? Why is hearing so important anyway? Why is that important for us? Well, I think Romans 10 helps us understand that. Romans 10, 14 says, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? How are they to hear without someone preaching? How are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? Now, this verse 17 is like a summarizing statement here in Romans 10 of what we just read. So faith comes from hearing. And hearing through what? The word of Christ. You know, Martin Luther wrote that the ears are the organ of the Christian. For faith comes by hearing. And so this is an important application here from this text to help us understand even more of what Jesus is saying here. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing comes through the word of Christ. And Jesus is saying here in this parable that the people, us included, we have a hearing problem spiritually, which according to Romans 10 means we have a word of Christ problem, which is why we have a faith problem, because they're connected. Faith comes from hearing, hearing through the word of Christ. And again, that is in its main intention in Romans 10, talking about how we are saved, the word of God speaking. But the word of God continues to speak to us as believers, and we need to continue to respond to it. And so from here, he moves to the responsibility of hearing. Verse 24, and he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Now, some people will take this passage, and it's not a correct interpretation of it, to say that, well, if you know, this is really preaching more of that prosperity theology, that if you give God money, then he'll give you more. You know, whatever you want God to give you more of, you just give to Him. And it's that kind of approach. And that would be a misreading of this, a misinterpretation of it. Jesus is not teaching any type of prosperity theology here. What He's teaching about is spiritual hearing. And He gives us here three truths about responding to Jesus and His Word. And the first one is this: the measure of your listening, and hearing determines your understanding. The measure of your listening and hearing determines your understanding. So verse 24 again, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So to the degree that you have ears to hear is to the same degree that you will have understanding of what you hear. Because your ability to hear is connected to the condition of your heart. And it reveals the condition of your heart in how you hear and respond to the Word of God. So if you're having a difficult time understanding and obeying the truths of God and His Word and applying them to your heart, it would be good to pray and ask the Lord to do a change of your heart. And then also pray and ask Him to give you ears to hear. Let Him know that you want to see the revealed light of Jesus in all of His glory. You don't want to miss it. Spiritually speaking, your ability to hear, again, it's directly connected to the condition of your heart. And so if you're not seeing the light of truth in all of its glory, ask for a changed heart and say, Lord God, give me ears to hear. How you approach hearing the Word of God will have an impact on your ability to understand the Word that you are hearing. Because that's what's being connected here, the hearing and the understanding. And it makes us ask a question like, well, how do we approach worship on Sundays? What's our routine? What do we do? How do we prepare to hear the Word of God, to be good hearers, so that we can understand and the Word of God can do the work that it does? And so maybe there are some routines that need to change, even on a Sunday morning, to approach better, putting yourself in a place to hear, really hear, and understand. Maybe it needs to even back up into Saturday. Or your devotions. How your devotion life. How you read the scriptures in your personal time. And how do you approach that? And how can that approach be a part of helping you to go into it with ears to hear? Your Bible study. Your community group. Or small group. The approach to these things that we take will impact how we hear. And our understanding then of what we hear. And so these are things we can pray about and ask God to help us. And part of praying for God to give us ears to hear is being willing to adapt and make the changes necessary to be good hearers of the Word. So that's the first. The second is faithful hearers receive more truth. Verse 24, still more will be added to you, to the one who has, more will be given. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, He said that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. I love that passage because of what that tells us, that if we're hungering and thirsting for righteousness, we will be filled. So the problem isn't with the filling on God's end. The problem is with the hungering on our end. So you pray and you say, God, help me to hunger. Think about hungering for righteousness. This is what this text is getting to, what Jesus is getting to with to the one who has, and more will be given. We need to be faithful with the truths that we know, with the word that God has given to us, the understanding that he's given to us. We need to be faithful with that, and then we need to humbly ask the Lord to continue to reveal more and more of his truth to us and be faithful with what he's already entrusted to us. Because to the one who has, more will be given. And so it's this understanding that the more open and receptive that you are to hearing the word of God in your life, the more of it you will receive in your life. There needs to be that openness to receive what he has given to us. These truths, his word, the word of Christ. Third, rejectors lose even what they have. Verse 25, this is kind of the opposite. Not the good part. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Now this is not about losing our salvation. Salvation is not the topic at play here. It's about spiritual atrophy, and essentially also, as Jesus introduced this, he is talking about the kingdom, and the fact that he is unveiling this and showing this, and that shows in the text to follow. But spiritual atrophy happens to us when we ignore truth and eventually lose our grasp of it. So truths are just kind of ignored, put aside. And then all of a sudden, if you keep ignoring truth, it won't be long before you find yourself believing a lie. And you won't really know that a change happened. You won't say, hey, I intend to believe this lie. What will happen is you will start by simply becoming dull in your ears to truth. Before you know it, you're believing the lie, and you won't know how it happened, how you got there. We see examples of this all over. Right? People who have professed faith, come to faith, and then all of a sudden, after a period of time, there's a falling away, and the falling away really is I'm no longer living my life in subjection to Christ and his word. And going back to the metaphor of light and lamp, the more that we reject the light of truth in our lives, the more comfortable we are in the darkness of deceit. And this is how our enemy works. This is what he wants to do. And this is what he knows. And this is exactly what was happening in the time of Jesus, as the disciples were being more and more open to the truth, more and more truth was being revealed, as the Pharisees and the religious leaders became more hardened to the truth of God, the more they couldn't see it. It just was not seeable, even though it was right there. Imagine that a man moves into a house with no windows. Now, in the real estate world, that's not a good thing, right? You want a house with a lot of windows, a lot of light. You know, that's the thing that we talk about all the time, right? This house has so much light shining through in the kitchen and here and there. But imagine that a man moves into a house with no windows, and at first he stumbles over the furniture. He bumps into walls. He even curses the darkness. And he says, why can't I see? But over time, something really terrifying happens. His eyes adjust. He learns the layout. He memorizes even the obstacles, and he no longer trips. And he starts telling himself, hey, I'm getting used to this. I can do this. I don't need the light. I'm doing just fine. But then one day someone knocks on the door, and they're holding a lamp, a bright lamp, staying in the context of our terminology today. And the light of that lamp floods into the house, and for the first time he sees the truth. The walls are covered in mold. The floor is littered with dirt. Junk is piled all over around the sides of the house where he's not walking. And the man could just never see it. But instead of looking and allowing that light to expose what's happening, he responds in anger to the one with the lamp. And he says, turn the light off. Turn the light off. I don't want to see this. And this is what Jesus meant by that. By that, the one who has not even what he has will be taken away, because when the light of truth is revealed, we must have an open heart and ears to hear. Or the little that is heard and known will be forgotten, soon forgotten. You'll become the man comfortable in darkness and getting used to it. Or the person that avoids shining the light of truth because it's revealing too much of our wicked hearts. So we don't want that light shining into our own lives. So instead of drawing close to God, drawing to the light, to the one who has come, we pull away. Jesus, God the Son, has come to us. That's what the scriptures teach. He was sent by God to us. The light of the world has come into the world, but the world loved darkness. And in John 3, this is what Jesus said himself. He said, "This is the judgment. Light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light. And does not, what? Come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." And the response to that, I think, is the words that Jesus said earlier. Do we have ears to hear? There are essentially two kinds of people in this room. Those who are walking toward the light of truth and therefore getting brighter and brighter in displaying that truth. Those who are saying, "I'm open to it," and therefore getting more. And then there are those who are walking away from the light of truth and going further into darkness. There really is no middle ground in the Christian walk. There's no standing still. There's no pause. There's no like, okay, I'm just going to, you know, coast. Coasting means you're drifting away. You're either moving toward the light or away. And then what's amazing about this text is, how do we know whether we're walking towards the light or away and towards the darkness? How do we know? How is your spiritual hearing? Do you have ears to hear? Hear the call of Jesus in this parable. Hear his warning. This is how the New Living Translation translates 24 and 25. "Pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you'll be given, and you'll receive even more. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them." So is a lamp brought in to be covered? Is a lamp brought in so the light can be covered? No. Jesus has come to be revealed, to be heard, to be worshiped. Let all of us then have ears to hear what it is that he has to say to us. That's what he's conveying. Let's pray together and ask God to continue to do that work in us. Lord God, as we have heard the word, what we pray is that there would be now ears to hear. And we pray against, Lord, the work of the enemy, which looks to steal away truth, to allow what's happening now in our hearts to stop and be taken away so that by the time we are in our cars, it's forgotten. But Lord, help us to have ears to hear, hearts that are open to understand. Thank you, Jesus, for being the light of the world that has come. And you have shined light into the darkness. And then help us, Lord, as we hear and receive this truth, help us then to be those that make your truth and shine your light to others. Give us ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen.